Radio Prague News.
The Health Ministry is planning to have proton therapy for cancer covered by health insurance. The Czech Association of Bailiffs has warned against a spate of fraudulent emails sent in its name. And Czechs are buying an increasing amount of fair trade products. The Health Ministry is planning to have proton therapy for cancer covered by health insurance. According to a proposed amendment to the law, all public health insurance companies would be bound to cover proton therapy if it is recommended by one of the country's 13 oncology centres. At present, this form of therapy is used only marginally, despite the fact that Prague has a modern proton therapy centre which takes in patients from around the world. Currently, only Prague's military hospital has an agreement on care with centre, and the biggest Czech health insurer of Všeobecná pojišťovna is locked in a drawn-out dispute with it over a controversial contract signed in the past. The Czech Association of Bailiffs has warned against a spate of fraudulent emails sent in its name in which people are asked to pay non-existent debts. Hundreds of people have reportedly called in to inquire about the mails. The association's spokesperson has warned the public not to respond to these requests, send money to the stated accounts, and ideally not to open any attachments. She moreover pointed out that bailiffs do not, as a rule, correspond with debtors by email. Czechs are buying an increasing amount of fair trade products. Fair Trade Czech Republic Director Hanna Horvatová said at a press conference in Prague on Tuesday. While in 2005, Czechs only bought 3 million crowns worth of fair trade goods, last year the amount rose to 174 million crowns. By far the most popular fair trade commodity on the market is coffee. An unknown attacker threw acid into the face of a 50-year-old woman in Prague's Michla district early on Tuesday, the CTK news agency reported. The incident happened in a lift and the attacker managed to escape unnoticed. The woman was rushed to hospital with severe facial burns. A similar incident took place in the city of Plzeň last November, where a man attacked his ex-girlfriend in a similar manner. He was charged after 9 months and now awaits trial in custody. A random laboratory test of children's school supplies for hazardous substances commissioned by the NGO Arnica revealed excessive amounts of toxic substances in 3 out of 11 tested products. Parents are warned in particular against 2 fake design label pen holders, Transformers, Optimus Prime and 21st Century, which were found to contain several kinds of dangerous phthalates, exceeding permitted norms by up to 150 times. The NGO presented its findings at a press briefing in Prague on Tuesday, urging parents to pay attention to the source and quality of the school accessories they acquire for their offspring. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days are expected to be cold and wet, with daytime highs staying well under 20 degrees Celsius. I'm Danny Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franíková. Coming up in today's program, the head of the National Theatre says that a planned wage increase in the institution won't go far enough. We speak to a Czech scientist who has developed a technique to turn water hyacinths into paper in Kenya. Later on, we speak to the inventor of a musical instrument called raketon. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Employees at the country's highly respected National Theatre can expect a little extra next year when it comes to their monthly paychecks. Funds allowing for a salary rise for the institution's employees were agreed recently by the country's Finance Minister Andrej Babiš and Culture Minister Daniel Herman. At the same time, it is clear that salary bump long term is being seen as not enough. Jan Wellinger has the details.
As of January 1st, employees at the National Theatre will see monthly salaries rise by 3.5% under an agreement between the Finance Minister and Culture Minister Daniel Herman. While almost certainly better than nothing and while presumably welcomed by employees, the theatre's director Jan Burian suggests that long-term the salary bump will not be enough a band-aid solution where more systemic changes will be necessary to bring salaries at the theater, competitively speaking, up to speed. The theater director described the situation in an interview for Czech Radio's flagship station, Radio Journal.
Je to samozřejmě kompromis, protože tu mzdovou situaci v Národním divadle je třeba v budoucnu řešit.
This is of course a compromise which needs a radical solution. If you compare the situation to the Czech Philharmonic, there the average monthly wage is 47,000 crowns. Members of our orchestra get 23,000. We are talking about musicians who perform 120, sometimes 140 performances per year, including 5 or 6 premieres. It is very demanding work.
The average salary for actors is likewise lower than one might expect, on average 20,000 a month before tax, a situation the theater's director wants more markedly improved. Long term, the National Theater head has pushed for a bill on public cultural institutions to address what he sees as outdated restrictions, which artificially ban the theater from more generously awarding its employees. National Theater director Jan Burian again.
Já myslím, že zaprvé se úplně přežila ta mzdová regulace, jak dneska ve skutečnosti.
I think wage regulations in place of cultural institutions are completely outdated. We have wage scales, and we also have an overall ceiling on salaries. So despite the fact that the theatre tours abroad, has a lot of visitors, and is very successful, we can't give employees responsible for its success more. This is a relic of the past. Maybe it was okay before 1989, but 25 years after the Velvet Revolution, it definitely isn't.
Discussions on draft legislation are ongoing, but it is too early to say what proposals may make it in before it is discussed by, for example, the government and eventually Parliament. Culture Minister Daniel Herman himself admitted it was difficult to see too far in advance, suggesting that while funds were secure for 2015, the country was still experiencing difficult economic realities, leaving unanswered questions. It is unclear whether more broad changes will be adopted. At the same time, when it comes to funds moving forward, the minister is still optimistic. Culture Minister Daniel Herman.
Samozřejmě nemůžeme vyloučit nejrůznější okolnosti.
We can't rule out all kinds of developments. We know that the situation in Europe or in the world is not easy at the moment. But we are confident in economic growth and that the situation will stabilize.
Že ekonomický rozvoj umožní, abychom rozhodně směřovali nahoru.
Minister of Culture Daniel Herman ending that report by Jan Wellinger. Now, after being contacted by a Czech aid worker with links to Kenya, a craft paper producer in North Bohemia has come up with a method under which locals on Lake Victoria will be able to turn water hyacinths, an aquatic plant causing great environmental damage, into high-quality paper. Ian Willoughby discussed the unlikely-sounding collaboration with Michal Gorec, owner of the Papirea Hand Paper Mill in Zgislava.
Our paper mill is specialized on paper making from plants and from especially from textile plants like linen flax, the original textile plants. So I knew at the beginning that somehow it will be possible to make it because I have experiences also from, for example, nettle flower or plant. I have experiences with water algae paper. But the basic requirement from the African colleagues where there are no chemicals and no electricity at the Victoria Lake. So we have to find out a very simple methods how to make paper. And since we are also specialized on Japanese paper making, there are techniques from 6th century, very simple techniques like manual hand beating using wooden hammers. So we know somehow it will be possible. And we have to find out a very simple way so we can reproduce it in Africa.
Why do they need to make paper from water hyacinths? Have you not got trees? What's the reason for the need?
It's very simple. Water hyacinth is creating a large ecological problems. It's a very invasive plant, creating carpets. It's a huge green carpet covering the lake. They are trying to find out what to do with this such an invasive plant. So one way is used for weaving. When you dry a stem of the flower, it can be used for weaving. You can weave baskets and some other things. And another idea was to make paper out of it.
Would you like to take this technology to other countries, to other plants in Africa? It seems very interesting that a small company near Liberec is working internationally like this.
Yeah, at the moment, we would like to focus on this one single project. We are at the point where the realization of the project needs to be done. So we have done researches. There is also a university in Pardubice involved in the research. They did a chemical test of the water hyacinth. We are the garant of the process itself. And now we need to find the sources to build up a paper mill, to do the educational training for the people. This is the main part of the project. One thing is that we know how to do it, and second thing is to put it into the life.
And is this paper that you're producing similar to papyrus? I mean, the original papyrus, which of course also was produced from a plant.
Yeah, original papyrus is done in a very different technique. You don't beat a fiber. You cut fiber and you place the stripes of the papyrus into the plate and then vertically and diagonally across and press it. We don't call papyrus as a real paper because the real paper, you have to change structure of the fiber by beating, by blending, by using hammers. And when you have a, let's call it paper mixture, you put it into the vat, you dip a screen, and then you make a sheet of paper. So it's done in a different way.
Michal Gorec, owner of the Papyrea Hand Paper Mill in Zdislava. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Coming up next in this edition of In Focus, we speak to the inventor of an unusual musical instrument called raketon.
The raketon made its first appearance about 3 years ago in a museum exhibit, but this week it made its debut in a contemporary music concert together with Prague's Burg Orchestra. I had a chance to speak to raketon's inventor Michal Cimala and to composer Jakub Rataj, who mastered this simple and elegant instrument and wrote the first orchestral piece that includes it. I first spoke to Michal and asked him to give me a sample of all the different sounds that raketon can make by striking and touching its two strings with bows, mallets, and even milk frothers. Take a listen. An amazing variety of sounds. Would you describe some of the parts? What is it made out of?
So it's basically made from tube, usually used for pipeline or for water. And this tube, it's deformed. So I create, just with simple cut, a new shape. Inside is a frame from steel, and the important part are two pickups from bass guitar and two strings from piano, and it's a special stand also for that instrument.
When did you first start working on it, and how long did it take you to actually come up with the instrument the way it looks now?
The process was pretty long. The start was in 1999, and the first instrument I finished it about the year 2001, and later, I tried to develop better and better instruments, so I was working pretty continuously on it. And finally, when it was exhibition in DOX in 2010, here was exhibited about 19 of my experimental instruments. So it was about 10 years of developing different kind of stuff.
And the other instruments that you've made, were they similar to a raketon or were they all different?
They are similar, but each one is special. So it's always based on the pickups from bass guitar and strings. But the shapes are different, and I did also 10 guitars from snowboards. I cut the snowboards and made some weird, wild instruments from it.
And have any of them already appeared in concert?
I was using those instruments for my performances, always when it's opening of my exhibition. It's some performance connected with that event, and I was also playing with band and with few bands like guests. So sometimes I was playing with professional musicians, and this experience with Orchestra Berg and the connection to Jakub Rataj, composer of piece for Raketon, it's really special because it's absolutely professional work, and I'm first time working with that kind of musicians with orchestra, so it's very special experience for me.
So I'll ask Jakub, what was the experience like for you? When did you start getting to know this new instrument?
So this idea to write a piece for Raketon and the orchestra came up when the conductor of Orchester Berg came and asked me that there's this new instrument, it looks just great and it has a wonderful sound. So if I'd be interested in writing a piece for it, because he knows that I play electric guitar, and I also play with objects, and I'm active as a performer. So, I was very curious how the work is gonna be. And, well, I went to the atelier Trafačka, and I started to play on it and to look for the sounds and to discover the possibilities the instrument is able to give.
How long did it actually take you to get comfortable with all the different possibilities that Raketon offers?
Well, I think I discovered maybe a little piece of the possibilities that this instrument provides. But I don't know how long. A few hours maybe, but a few very intense hours.
Can you compare a Raketon to any other instrument, or is it completely unique?
Well, it is completely unique in the point of view that it combines many instruments in one. So, for example, there's this one native instrument from Brazil, berimbau. If you play with the stick on these metal strings, it has a sound that you can get from berimbau. When you use the bow, you get a sound that is similar to amplified cello sound. When you use different techniques, it sounds a bit like a strange electric guitar, and so on and so on. So, as it is a combination of different shapes and different materials, it is unique, but you can look for these sounds in different places.
Do you think this is an instrument that is easy to compose for? Can you imagine yourself composing more pieces for it in the future?
To compose one piece, it was not easy, because it has only two strings, and I had to think of what I want to do, if it's going to be like a virtuoso piece, or more a timbre piece. So I used it in this one more timbre-like way, and I think that if I would write another piece, it would be more difficult, because there is actually no literature. It is absolutely free what you can do. You are very free to write what you want, but at the same time it's harder to do it because it's new.
While Jakub was discovering Raketon and writing the music, did the two of you discover anything new about it, any new sounds, or maybe the special instruments that you use with it?
Definitely, he showed me how it's possible to play regular tones on it, because he measured the strings and divided and make points on it, so you can play simple melodies on it. So yeah, I discovered new stuff.
Do you think that this is an instrument that you can eventually maybe teach at a musical school, that it's simple enough to learn?
I don't know. I don't know.
Are you planning to make more of them? I mean, this is obviously difficult to teach a wider group with just one instrument.
This year I will make a new one, and it will be possible playing like regular music on it. There will be bars and there will be more strings, six strings. So the possibilities will be like more open.
How often are new musical instruments created these days?
There exist some people on the world. They are very interested to create some weird and new instruments. And it's not a huge community, but it exists, I don't know, 100 people. They try to do it, something like this.
I'm quite sure that there are more, because this this has something to do with sound art in general. So there are lots of people who are interested in sound installations, in making sound sculptures, sound objects, and so on. And that's just a step to create a new instrument.
And I guess it's a very modern and futuristic idea in many ways, right? It's combining technology and art.
Yes, but that's actually what always the people were looking for. It doesn't matter if it was 100 years ago, or that was the intonaro mori of the futurists, composers, and so on. So the interest of looking for new methods and new sounds, new methods of getting these sounds, this interest, I think, will never die. You know, it's like looking for new colors or something.
That edition of In Focus was first broadcast in April last year. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franíková. Thanks for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.